بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, yesterday I spoke to you about this very moving experience that I had. Now I was fortunate enough, alhamdulillah, for Dr. Hazrat ji also, he was with me, or rather I was with him. And so I'm requesting him also to share his thoughts on this matter with us, inshallah. May Allah make this beneficial for us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah walhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. And when we say us, I'm talking about we are essentially identified by our qulub, our hearts. Physical bodies are all the same, proteins and fats. But the content of a person is his heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made our hearts to have attachments. They need something to attach to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the Quran that we have not created two hearts in any person. What that means is the heart that is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's collected on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose thoughts and aspirations are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a heart that is scattered into His creation. And the two are exclusive of each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not share partnership, doesn't share with any of His creation. So if our hearts are attached to His creation, whatever it be, we cannot have true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we have true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our hearts, the energies, the spiritual energies of our hearts are collected on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jam'atul qulub, then everything falls in proper balance. What that means is then even though we live in this world, our legitimate likes, dislikes, and loves, for example, our love for our parents, our love for our spouse, our love for our neighbors, our love for our children, our love for possessions even, is balanced because it is out of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not independent of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we love our spouses or our children to the extent that we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is done all the time, then we have taken them as a fitna, essentially, that takes us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, if we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will still love our children in the right proportion and our spouses, because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, to love and honor our parents. So there is a balance. Now, when we don't have the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when tawheed does not exist in an experiential form, not just linguistically or academically or intellectually, then we manifest that by our hearts being scattered in many different directions. What I mean by that is that we are attached, we look for pleasure, and we look for contentment in things. So what we saw today was a person who did not acknowledge a superior being, a creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because his heart needed fulfillment, he collected things. He would buy multiple copies of the same thing. And some of those what we saw were still in their boxes, had never been opened. So a house that's full of dunya, full of toys, which he thought in his disturbed mind or thinking at that point would give him happiness, would give him contentment, would give him joy. And they would give him some temporary joy, but it wasn't enough. And the proof of that is there's so much of it. If something was giving him joy, why would he need thousands of it? So if clothes give you joy, you don't need 3,000 t-shirts, which is what he had, or more than 50 different clocks, or more than 10,000 different books, which were obviously not read, and many other things. So this hoarding, which is a disease in itself, is a manifestation of our disconnect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of that, even if it may give us temporary satisfaction or joy, is like an intoxicant, you know, like alcohol, which makes the person oblivious of their problems and temporarily makes them intoxicated or anesthetized till the effect of alcohol wears off, and then you need something else to fill that empty space. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us understanding that the real joy of our hearts, the real true happiness, can only come from the source, the creator of happiness, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are disconnected from the source of it, we will never find true happiness, even though we fool ourselves with toys, whether they be possessions, whether they be mansions, whether they be cars and boats and toys. So the lesson that I learn, I hope I learn again, is that I need to look in my own heart and see who is my true love. Who takes precedence over everything else? Do I give priority to others above the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is everything else in line and follows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and is pleased with? So again, the moral of the story is that just like him, he's just a prototype. There are people who have had a lot, like the Qaruns and the Fir'auns, and they exist today, and we are told to look up to them. You know, in the Muslim Ummah today, people may not be able to name 10 Sahaba, yet they can name 10 multi-billionaires. That means we are taught to look up to these people, that this is what you should be. This is, you know, the people of Qarun wanted to be like him. They were enamored by him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that don't be looking up and be deceived and dazzled by what Allah has given some people, because it's a trial. So if we are truly attached to Allah, we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes us independent of these things. We can have them, and we can lose them without having a nervous breakdown over it. Wealth comes and goes. Possessions come and go. Even your loved ones. Jibreel alayhi salam told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, he said, love whoever you want, one day you will be separated. So we will be separated from our loved ones, but it will not be such a disaster because we are attached to Allah. We did our duty, and therefore we know that we will reunite with our loved ones, inshallah, in Jannah. Similarly, if our hearts are collected on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our ruh will not have to be extracted by Malakul Maut from every piece of furniture, from every car, from every real estate, and every thing of joy that we attached our hearts to. It would be very difficult for a person to leave at that time who is attached to everything else. It would be like trying to extract silk over a bush of thorns. It's going to not want to let go. Whereas, as we are told, the soul of the believers is extracted and should be extracted like you're pulling out a hair from honey or from butter, soft. So we have to prepare. And again, when we see these, we don't critically look at that person and say, oh, look how, how his or her mentality or thinking or priorities were. But we look within to see how much of those qualities at a different level I possess. Maybe not to that degree. Maybe I don't have that kind of money to buy that much. If I did, I might do the same thing. That's why when we tend to criticize some of our ruling elite, the wealthy, of what they do, and we say, look what they do, they're doing that based on their net worth. But if we critically look, we might find that based on our net worth, we're doing the same thing. So again, the lessons are always for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us. That's why it's an ibrah, lessons to be learned when we see these things. And therefore, we should tend to simplify our lives, because we claim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We claim to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the wealthiest of human beings because he had no needs. He was not poor because a lot came to him, and since he didn't need it, he gave all of it away. That is wealth. That's generosity. That's not poverty. To the extent where he could do with dates and water for 2 or 3 months at a time. Not to punish himself because he didn't feel the need for it. So our fulfillment should be in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in leading our lives of moderation and trying to work more towards the goal of zuhud. So, and zuhud, asceticism, is not the lack of having possessions, but lack of attachments or needs in the heart. Because somebody may have nothing because they are poor, and yet their heart desires. That's not a zahid. A zahid may have a lot of possessions, but doesn't care. If they come, they go, give it, because he has no need or attachment. So everything will be left behind because there is only one inheritor, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say that my children will inherit me, but Allah will inherit me because my children are not here forever either. And it goes on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inherits it, gives it to someone else, gives it to someone else. So we have to prepare for that, because our destination, our enjoyment, our party time is ahead. This is a place of trial and tribulation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not grant just on claims, but by producing proofs which come by presenting us with these challenges and seeing how we react to it. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and is pleased with, and that he fill our hearts with contentment, qana', with whatever he gives us, and not let our hearts be attached to things and people independent of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send peace and blessings on our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to follow him in his footsteps till we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بند.
ہاں.